From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 13th day of May, 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. The statisticians from Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, and Indiana will be here. Take a look at crop progress and conditions in their areas, and we'll discuss the agricultural energy markets with Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services out of Chicago, Illinois. As we close out our half hour together, we'll take a quick peek at what's been happening in the weather forecast. Don Day at Day Weather will be here too, right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Well, in Chicago for this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract in the soft red winter wheat, that's May at $7 even, down 5.5 cents. It's 7.09 1/4. July finished 5.75 lower. The hard red July at 8.24 3/4, up 0.25 cents. May corn at 5.03 1/4, up 5.75. July at 5.02 3/4, 3.25 higher. In September, $4.96 1/2, up 2.5 cents. December corn, $4.95, 3 higher. The March at $5.03, up 2.5 cents. And May of next year at $5.09 a bushel in the corn pit, up 2.75. May beans, $15.02 1/4, 18.5 cents higher on the day. July at $14.83 3/4, up 18.5. And the August at $14.15 1/2, 10.75 higher. September soybeans, $12.76 3/4, up 6.75. In November contract, your harvest month, $12.19 a bushel. In the bean pit, up 6.75. January of next year at $12.25 1/2, 6.75 higher as well. Bean meal at $4.97.70, up $8.20. Bean oil at $41 even, 22 cents higher. Live cattle futures from the CME Group finished the nearby June contract at $137. That was down 65 cents for the day. August at $137.85, 22.5 lower. May feeder cattle at $184.72 1/2, up 12.5 cents. And the August at $191.67 1/2, down 20. Lean hogs finished May futures at $112.40, a settlement price down $1.02 1/2. And June futures were up 60 in the lean hogs at $119.60 for 100 pounds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. June contract, $101.76 a barrel, $1.15 higher. June gasoline at $2.93 1/10. That's the RBOB, up a penny and 6 cents for the wholesale price. June futures in the ethanol at $2.13 1/2, 0.3 cents lower. The spread between those two, the gasoline and ethanol, at 79.6 cents. That's a penny and 9 cents wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $4.36 1/10. 7.3 cents lower for the day. And diesel fuel trading $2.94 7 cents, up 2.9 cents. Gold futures finished a dime higher, rather a dollar lower, at $1,294.80. A troy ounce in the U.S. dollar at 80.14 is up 0.24 on the afternoon. Let's check out what's been happening with the weather. We'll find that from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area here in just a moment. Outside of our studios right now, just 59 degrees. The Weather Service, by the way, is calling for cloudy skies for this afternoon. A 70% chance of showers are likely. The high 61. We've already hit that and on our way down. Tonight, showers are likely. Many before 7 p.m. this evening. Mostly cloudy. A low of 51 degrees. West-northwest winds at around 9 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation this evening set at 60%, and showers are likely for Wednesday day after 1 in the afternoon. Cloudy, a high of 57 degrees. Rainfall chance again at 70%. And then Wednesday night, showers likely, cloudy, and a low of 44 degrees. On a north wind at 13 to 17, that'll gust to 24. Rainfall chance in the area set at 70%. Thursday, a 50% chance of showers, a high of 57. 30% chance on Thursday evening at a low of 41. 40% chance of showers on Friday. Otherwise, partly sunny, a high of 57 degrees, and mostly cloudy Friday night and 40. Saturday, mostly sunny and 61. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. On this Tuesday afternoon, let's check the agricultural futures markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, for this 13th day of May, 2014. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
What happened in Chicago today?
Well, you know, we saw a little precursor. We're going off the board tomorrow at noon with the May contracts. Saw corn up 5.25 and the May beans up 19. So a little bit of a precursor there on what's going to maybe see a little bit of fireworks in the old May crop because there's a little bit tightness of cash beans out there right now. But all in all, it was sort of a quiet day. Otherwise, we were on the upside in the beans and the corn, but not very exciting in the corn. And, of course, the wheat was under a lot of pressure. And I guess that has to be the world stocks as we look at things because our crop just doesn't look that good.
Our crop does not look that good, and USDA yesterday said it's not in very good shape either. Though, when you look back to last year, it was in about the same condition, if I remember right, from the overall numbers. I'm wondering, will the trade react too quickly to the conditions across the United States for the wheat? And what happens to that crop if it actually gets harvested?
Well, I think that basically if it's in poor shape, and depending on how it comes out, it might become feed wheat rather than milling wheat. And, you know, we'll look for that to sort of be back in competition, sort of like we were with corn year in 12 when we were short of corn and feeding a lot of wheat. So, but I think that it will get fed. It won't just get thrown away. But all in all, that could be some competition to corn.
Well, it could be some competition for corn. Will it put pressure on the upside potential of corn?
You know, it not right away, but I think it can down the road a little bit. That might sort of pop in how the summer finishes out if we have some bad wheat that have to come into the feed markets instead of that. Also, you know, will it go into the world feed markets? Will it go into our local feed markets?
When you consider the USDA's numbers from last Friday for corn, and we're beginning to think a little more deeply about the changes it made, in particular the exports up 150 million bushels for corn, yet down 200 from that for next year. What does it tell you?
Well, I think it tells you that the rest of the world is looking at some pretty good numbers for carryouts. It's not just the U.S. that's looking to increase some of their production. You know, we're talking about China now is going to be auctioning off some corn in the coming weeks. They had a very successful bean auction last night. More than what everybody was anticipating they would do. And, you know, we're seeing more corn produced in Argentina, Brazil, and everywhere around like that. So just maybe everybody isn't going to be in the shape to want to be buying as much corn. Remember, we started off with a pretty deficit to start the year off, and we were able to really push some of the early months of the corn sales off really good.
In a couple minutes here, we'll listen to the state statisticians from Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, and Minnesota talk about the numbers that were released yesterday afternoon for crop progress reports and where they stand. What do you think about the condition of the crop for corn, soybeans? And I know the condition really isn't in there, but the number of acres that have been planted, what's left to plant, and who's really behind the bait ball at this time, if anybody.
Well, of course, the ones behind the eight ball is Michigan, northern Minnesota, the Dakotas, and northern Iowa parts out there that are hurting. And there's a lot of acres yet to be planted there. There was 15.3 million acres of corn intended to be planted in North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan. And only 4.1 has been done of that. So that leaves us about 11 million acres left to plant. And those are the areas where it's been cool, it's been wet. And, you know, it's coming up to the time where we got to see something turn around to get that ground planted, or we're going to lose some acres up there to beans, I think.
Now, let me ask a different question. Now, even if we lose the acres up there to beans, what's the likelihood that they just have corn sitting in the bin and they wouldn't manage it with it anyway?
Well, I think that one of the things we know for sure is there's a lot of areas in the Dakotas that we're not able to sell or ship much corn because the trains were in such demand for the crude oil. So I think that that's going to be okay. But I think that we could end up losing a few acres to corn up there that go to the beans. But all in all, I think that the rest of the U.S. is getting in and maybe putting a few acres, more acres of corn in. And let's stop and think. What we lose up there might be made up by those acres that were prevent plant a year ago that will come back into production this year.
Are we sideways from here, friendly or bearish for corn?
I think for right now, until we can see a little more weather, we're probably more in a choppy sideways range with a little bit of downward bias.
What do you think about the potential for the exports to continue to move as quickly as they have? And can we actually make that 1.9 billion bushels we just talked about?
That's going to be a lofty goal to achieve in my world, Todd. I think that we're going to see increased pressure coming from South America to keep us in that market, and staying at higher prices is going to make it a lot harder to get there.
Lead option May soybeans are still above $15 a bushel, but they're going off the board too.
They go off the board tomorrow at noon, 15:02 3/4. You know, it's going to be very interesting to see if they close above that $15 mark to leave where the July it has to come up to, or whatever, for continuation chart.
Yeah, there is a 20-cent gap in between those two. Which way will it go, up or down?
I think that for a while here, until we see some more exports to the U.S. or imports to the U.S. from South America, we're probably going to stay on the high side for the nearby month.
Mm-hmm. Anything else to add on the livestock before I let you go?
You know, the livestock, we see a little sell-off now and then, like in the hogs, but overall the meat market's going to continue to stay very strong.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. Don't forget, you can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There we post all of our agricultural programming, from the Opening Market Report to the Closing Market Report, and everything in between, not long after it airs on our radio station. In fact, the times that you will find at willag.org are not the broadcast schedule times, but the time they're posted to our website. Those are normally about 5 after the hour. Commodity Week, I have not changed the time on yet, is up by about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, now that we record and go live just after the Closing Market Report on Friday afternoons. By the way, our guest this week, I just scheduled today, Jerry Gulke of the Gulke Group. He'll be able to talk to us a little bit about those Dakotas, he always does, and how far along the folks in northern Illinois might be with their planting. Gulke is on our Commodity Week program this Friday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows as of the 11th day of May, 59% of the corn across the nation had been planted. 58% is the rolling five-year average. Last year, by the way, just 29% of the corn crop had been put in the ground. 18% of that crop has now emerged. The rolling five-year average is 25%. 20% of the soybeans have been planted nationwide. That normally 21% on the rolling five-year average. 44% of the winter wheat crop has headed, 46% is the rolling five-year average. It is now said to be in 20% very poor, 22% poor, and 28% fair condition. 25% of the wheat crop in good condition, and 5% of the winter wheat is considered in excellent condition. Those numbers are not particularly far off, by the way, of last year, when those numbers were 20, 19, 29, 27, and 5 for each category, respectively. Now, here's an update of state conditions from USDA NAS in Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and Minnesota.
This is Katie Andel reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa field office. Optimal conditions allowed almost 50% of corn acreage and almost 20% of soybean acreage to be planted in Iowa during the 4.9 days suitable for fieldwork. Corn planting reached 70% complete by the end of the week, 8 days ahead of last year, but equal to the normal pace. 9% of the corn crop has emerged. Soybean planting was 20% complete, 2 days behind average. High temperatures reached 97 degrees at Clarinda, Shenandoah, and Sydney the first time this year the 90-degree mark was reached in the state. Temperatures for the week averaged 3.2 degrees above normal. Thunderstorms were scattered across northwest Iowa on Wednesday and statewide on Thursday. Northwest Iowa received rain again on Saturday. Total rain for the week varied from sprinkles in southeast Iowa to 1.86 inches at Cresco. Average precipitation for the week was 0.31 inches, about one-third of the normal amount. Topsoil and subsoil moisture levels improved slightly to 89 and 65% adequate to surplus, respectively. Northwest Iowa remained the driest, with almost one-third of the topsoil in very short condition. This is Katie Andel reporting from the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office.
This is Todd Ballard, Deputy Director with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, serving Illinois. Corn planting was in full swing last week as producers took advantage of dry conditions and spent long days in the field planting corn and soybeans. Corn planting increased to 78% complete, ahead of the five-year average of 53%. Soybean planting also made good progress to 26%, which is ahead of the five-year average of 16%. Oat planting progressed to 77% complete, while sorghum planting reached 12%. Winter wheat headed reached 16%, however, that remains well behind the five-year average of 44%. Statewide temperatures averaged 67.2 degrees, 6.6 degrees above normal. Statewide precipitation averaged 0.85 inches, 0.13 inches below normal. Winter wheat condition was rated at 2% very poor, 6% poor, 29% fair, 46% good, and 17% excellent. Pasture conditions were rated at 1% very poor, 5% poor, 36% fair, 43% good, and 15% excellent. This has been Todd Ballard with the Heartland Region of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, serving Illinois.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office. Minnesota farmers were able to make moderate planting progress before planting was once again halted by rains late in the week. There were 2.5 days rated suitable for field work. Widespread precipitation caused topsoil and subsoil moisture levels to rise. Topsoil moisture supplies are rated 60% adequate and 40% surplus. Almost one quarter of the corn crop was planted this week. 31% overall of the corn crop has been planted, which is 5 days behind normal. Cool temperatures have delayed corn emergence. Soybean planting was 4% complete, that's 12 days behind normal. For the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Glenn Goodrich with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending May 11th. Corn planted 61% compared to 27% last year and 45% five-year average. Corn emerged 14% compared to 3% last year and 26% five-year average. Soybeans planted 23% compared to 5% last year and 22% five-year average. Soybeans emerged 2% compared to 0% last year and 9% five-year average. Winter wheat jointing 72% compared to 78% last year and 86% five-year average. Winter wheat headed 10% compared to 16% last year and 30% five-year average. Winter wheat condition, 1% very poor, 4% poor, 27% fair, 53% good, 15% excellent. Warm and dry weather for the majority of the state saw a surge in field activity this week, with farmers working nonstop until weekend rain halted activity. By week's end, many farmers had concluded their corn planting and had begun planting soybeans. Winter wheat, alfalfa hay, and pasture have all progressed vigorously this week. Some farmers took the opportunity to plow down damaged wheat fields. Other activities included fertilizer application and repair of fence rows and tile. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending May 11th, 2014. This is Glenn Goodrich reporting.
Our thanks to the state statisticians in Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota for those updates. The third largest corn-producing state in the nation filed this report for the week as well. It says that most of Nebraska received precipitation during the week, with amounts varying widely across the state. Localized areas of heavy rain and thunderstorms in eastern Nebraska caused some damage to irrigation equipment and a few buildings late last week. Areas of southwest Nebraska remain in an extreme drought. Field crop reports suggest winter wheat conditions rated 4% very poor, 17% poor, 32% fair, 43% good, and 4% excellent. Corn planted was 77%. That's ahead of the rolling five-year average of 71% and emerged at 18% ahead of the 2% last year and behind the 21% rolling five-year average. In Nebraska, 36% of the soybean crop has been planted. That's well ahead of the 6% last year and even ahead of the rolling five-year average of 30%. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Phone line now is Stephen Platt from Archer Financial Services for this Tuesday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural energies and what's been happening in the crude oil and other sorts of commodities. Thank you so much for taking the time with us, Steve. Why don't you give us a quick look back over the last week and tell me what the most important factors have been.
Well, certainly the Ukrainian situation continues to be the biggest fundamental, have the biggest fundamental impact on the market. How much that really contributes, I think, is still open for debate, but certainly it causes enough risk premium in the market that we've pulled back over the $100 mark and currently trading close to 102, where some pretty good resistance does reside. The other markets have pretty much followed through, but the cracks have weakened in terms of gasoline and heating oil or diesel, basically lagging behind the movement in crude. The crude oil has seen some strength to the nearby spreads relative to the back months, as you see the stocks at Cushing continue to decline.
What are your expectations for the coming week then?
My feeling is we'll struggle up here again. We've been basically in a big, pretty tight trading range in terms of the crude oil. This 102, 103 area, I think, is going to be hard to really get much above. I don't see the Ukrainian situation having any real long-lasting impact. It seems like the Soviets have actually somewhat tempered their, bellicose in terms of that region and backing off from full support of the secessionist movement in the east. I think at this juncture, Russians probably have more to lose than probably anyone else in terms of any cuts or additional sanctions being posed.
U.S. EPA is expected in June sometime, though they won't say exactly when, to release the numbers for the renewable fuel standard for 2014. Is the trade hoping that it will allow a bit more ethanol into the marketplace than what?
Well, certainly, I think on the agricultural side, there's a lot of pitting the big oil against the agricultural interests here in terms of Washington. We'll see how that materializes. But I would think that given the crop surpluses that we might be looking at, there could be a move to kind of at least hold back on further declines in that.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Thank you.
You too.
Have a great day.
You too. That is Stephen Platt. He's with Archer Financial Services. Joins us here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Of course, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming anytime you'd like, from the pre-opening market or the opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions. Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey offers solutions, resources, and expertise to support local landowners. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's National Butterscotch Brownie Day. Samuel Parkinson began making butterscotch candy in 1817. The candy had royal approval, and it was one of England's attractions until it ceased production in 1977. The recipe was revived in 2003. On this day in agricultural history in 1787, James Pollard Espy was born. An American meteorologist, he was one of the first to collect meteorological observations by telegraph. In 1845, Carl Gustav Patrick de Lava was born, a Swedish scientist. He invented a continuous centrifugal cream separator, which he patented in 1894. Milk flowed into the machine in a small and continuous stream and was whirled and separated as it passed through, the cream leaving from one aperture and the skimmed milk from another. He also designed a vacuum milking machine. However, it was not until after he died that the company he founded made its first commercially practical milking machine. And in 1914, C.W. Post died. He founded the Postum Cereal Company in 1895. In 1922, the company was renamed General Foods Corporation. Its earliest cereal product debuted in 1897, and you can still find Grape Nuts on grocery shelves today. A 1904 cereal went by the name of Elijah's Manna. It's better known today as Post Toasties. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day always joins us from Cheyenne, Wyoming, and Day Weather. Thanks, Don, for being with us. Let's start with this week in the Midwest and begin with the rainfall that came through. Quite a thunderstorm.
Yeah, and a pretty vigorous system, the same system that caused a lot of severe weather and winter weather out west is now, what's left of that system is now moving on through. So it's going to be a little bit cool on the backside of this system as we work our way through the next couple of days. But the air is going to be a little bit drier. While there still is going to be the possibility, the threat for a little bit of shower activity, I think as we work our way through the week, we'll get an opportunity to have a slow warm-up and a little bit in the way of some drier conditions as well. This will be especially true over the weekend.
How about in the northern parts of the Midwest? They're still running a bit behind, would like to get more corn in the ground and some soybeans started there too for Minnesota, parts of upper Iowa.
Well, you know, it's a lot like what we talked last week. It's really tough to get anything consistently warm or dry long enough to help those folks catch up. And with the coolness coming in behind the system that's moving through now, and the threat of some more shower activity and thunderstorm activity moving in early next week up there, while conditions compared to where they've been will get a little bit better, it's still not the pattern that they want yet.
And as you take a look more broadly across the United States, there are still some places, while we've been talking about showers and rainfall, that remain under drought conditions.
Yeah. Now, I've got a little bit of good news. It looks like as we get to the last 10 days of May, into the first week of June, I think this is going to be good news for a lot of folks. I think we're going to finally start to settle into a more consistently warmer weather pattern for the Corn Belt. Those dry areas in the southern plains, those winter wheat areas, those hard wheat areas of Oklahoma, Kansas, Texas, portions of Colorado, I do see an uptick in their chances for getting some precipitation.
It may be too late and too little there, but we'll see how their crop pans out, I suppose, over time. Can you check in China for me and give me an update on the weather there and how the growing season has started?
Well, they're looking at some pretty stormy weather there right now and over the next 5 or 6 days, especially the central and southern areas. It looks cool and it looks very wet in China's southern and central areas. Probably going to stay that way here in the short term, not drying out and warming up till probably early next week.
No, and then one final note. I saw on your Twitter account that there were 36 inches of snowfall in the area. That's quite the dumper in this time of season, I would think.
Yeah, a May spring snowstorm, not unusual at all in the northern and central Rockies, but we saw some 3-4 foot snows in the mountains of southern Wyoming and central and northern Colorado. Some of the big river systems are looking at snowpacks that are anywhere from 120 to 160% normal in the central and northern Rockies. So good news there, but as you mentioned, not far south from there, drought conditions persist.
Hey, when you have that much snowfall and snowpack, what does that mean for the Missouri and flooding later on? Anything?
Well, not much of an impact there. It just takes too long, and there's a lot enough dam systems between here and there to stop things up. What it does mean is that the North Platte and South Platte systems and tributaries, that's really important for western areas of Nebraska, some of the key ag areas of northeastern Colorado, are going to have some good water to work with this season.
Okay, thanks so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, and helps me wrap up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Novi Extension's Todd Gleason.